Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to this show that you're about to listen to. It is Nerdy for 30, the show where Tim Kak, comedian, friend, and I talk about nerdy stuff we've seen lately. There will not be spoilers for Black Widow in this show. We are assuming, if you're listening to this, that you have seen everything else in the MCU except for Black Widow. So anything else is fair game. We're probably going to talk a ton about Captain America, the Winter Soldier today. Tim, how are you?
Kevin, I'm doing good. I feel like I should say your name. I realize that you've been introducing all these shows by saying my name and not your own name. So I feel like I should be responding, thank you, Kevin Bauer. I feel good. I feel all right. I rewatched Loki today, and at least once out loud to nobody, I said, well, this sucks. And then like the next minute I was like, you know what? It's okay, but I don't know. I'm really torn. I think I'm kind of leaning towards this sucking, but I'm very excited to talk out my feelings and splurt my hot takes with our special guest.
Oh, our special guest. That's right. When you're talking about this roller coaster ride of a show, you need a man that knows excitement. And that man is Spencer Paser. Spencer, how are you?
Oh, I am great. I'm not going to lie. I thought you were reading an ad at the beginning of the show. I was like, are we sponsored? This is a sponsored show.
We're sponsored by Nerdy for 30. Pay each other $30 every week to promote our own podcast.
Mostly to confuse Venmo. Spencer.
Yeah.
What have you thought of Loki so far? It's over. Spencer, give us your Loki thoughts.
Well, I was actually surprised by your take that you didn't enjoy it, because I rather enjoyed the show, I gotta say. I would have said there were moments where I was like, okay, this is enough. But I found it satisfying, and I actually like that they didn't give us like, it wasn't so definitive. They left it very open-ended, which I kind of enjoyed, honestly. So I would honestly, I'm on the side of, I enjoy this show. Give me more of it.
I definitely want more.
Spencer, what have you liked about Loki so far?
Well, I was thinking about it earlier, and I realized that the show is a good metaphor for a few things. One most importantly being self-love in a very creepy way. You know how he does essentially fall in love with a version of himself played by who's the character Sylvie, and it's sort of his salvation, like his come to Jesus moment, his come to Loki moment, if you will. And it's like his journey of like healing, because we catch up with him 2012 Loki in the beginning, like it takes us all the way back. At that point in the MCU, 2012 Avengers, we were like, fuck Loki, he's corny ass, like evil bad guy working for Thanos, like the vague Thanos back at the time. And then we want to catch him up to the way we feel about him post Avengers Infinity War. We already have like a soft spot for Loki, and we have to get his character from shitty Loki spot to now audience feeling Loki spot, and then also see him get through those transitions. And I kind of enjoyed how his journey of like realizing that he is a shit, and through it falling in love with a version of himself, he kind of is like, oh, like he learns to sort of be a better person in the sense. So I did enjoy that, but it was creepy how they managed to do it through him actually like wanting to be physical with a version of himself from another universe. So there's like, it's a fine line, honestly, for me.
Was that, so did you guys find that shit creepy at all? I have to admit, I don't think I did. It's like clearly another person. It's like a guy and a girl, and like at the very worst, it's masturbating, right? If they hook up, like it's not incest if you're hooking up with yourself. That's okay.
Good point.
The only part in this episode where I was like, oh, this is weird, is they both sit down in the chair and they're both holding the swords the same way, and they're both sitting the same way, and it feels like they go out of their way to show us that they are mirroring each other. And like looking at each other in the same way, it really felt very deliberate that these are mirror images of the same individual 3 minutes before they make out. And I'm like, this seems like, these seem like contradicting ideas to me. But also it seems like the kind of like weird fucked up shit that I would expect from a Loki character.
But it makes sense for them to be at that point, at that point in the series, because they start out so divergent from one another. And that over the course of the series, they, like, she slowly comes, like gets over on his side, and he wants her to be closer to him, and he wants to protect her and also like figure out what the hell is going on. So they are mirror images up until the moment that she like doesn't make the decision that he wants to make and tricks him into trying to, you know, kill our variant of He Who Remains.
Kevin, does the Loki on Loki relationship bother you at all? What do you think of it? We finally get some smooching. They finally get their kisses in. What happens? How you feeling?
It didn't until I heard the speculation. We talked about this on the last episode, that the reason they didn't have Sylvie ever bring up Thor was because it would make the connection that they have the same sibling and really make it feel more like incest. And I gotta say, it did. That is the first thing that really, I'd never, you know, everyone has heard the theory of like, you know, if you could hook up with yourself, would you? And that's a whole bag of worms. But the one part of it that I personally, I'd never thought of before and had never thought of in this context is the idea of like another version of yourself sharing the same family members really fucking, really takes it to a different place.
Sure. But when you marry somebody, then all of a sudden their brother is your brother, right? Their parents are your parents-in-law. You know, you call them mom and dad. That's weird, but not real. Is that weird? You know, well, it just sounds like you guys are really close to kink shaming. And no matter what podcast I'm on, the last thing I will do is kink shame somebody. I will. That is a Mess Around Media guarantee. It's the third from the top of our bullet points. You know, the first one is justice. The second one's integrity. And the third one is you better not be kink shaming on our podcasts. So if that's what gets you off is hooking up with an alternate dimension, alternate variant of who you are, go for it, man. Do it. Let your freak flag fly. Get your rocks off, Loki.
I mean, well, technically, she's also much older than him, right? Because they make a few mentions that her existence was far before the Loki that we're accustomed to. So theoretically, like, they're all gone. Like, her Thor or whatever, her version of Asgard, that's long gone, supposedly. She could be all that's left from that multiverse, from that universe.
She could be infinite. We have no concept of how old she is because she's been hopping timelines. So like, does that even mean, so is she even aged? She's just been bouncing around. She hasn't had the time to like travel linearly through time.
Okay. So this is one of the mechanics that I actually wanted to talk about. So we've had a lot of discussion on this show about, you know, divergent timelines and all that kind of stuff and how things, what defines a variant is when things don't go a certain way in a timeline that they're supposed to go. And we see that visualized as one straight line. What was always kind of strange about that was the idea of, okay, so are these things happening multiple times? Is it happening over and over again? And if it is happening over and over again, why is it necessarily an issue? How does a variant pop up one time, but it didn't other times before? This is the first episode where we actually see that visualized from the other side when we go to the domain of He Who Remains and we see it as a giant ring around the house. But that brings up its own questions, which is, again, you know, like the TVA exists outside of time. So if Sylvie's been outside of time, how is there any aging whatsoever? How is anybody doing anything? That is time. Time is a band and they're outside of the band. So yeah, is she infinite?
And it's also being expressed as a loop. Yeah, I don't know, but time, and in that visual, time's being expressed as a loop.
Yeah.
So it would theoretically go around and around. So like there is no beginning and there is no end. There's just like along the way.
Like if you could pause time right now and just live 100 years and like pause time, would you age? Or is it necessary for you to be in a time stream for that to happen? I mean, she's going between timelines. So she is spending time in time where she would be aging. She's never going through a place, unless she's in the TVA, which it sounds like she's not doing. She's hiding out in time. So she is just going from one place where she ages to another place where she ages.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically, her body. I mean, she's a Loki, so she's a god, so she's going to live many, many years regardless. But if you were like a regular human, your body would still, I mean, I don't, biologically, it would deteriorate over the course of time. But by freezing time, does that wouldn't necessarily freeze your like biology? Would it? This is far beyond.
This isn't what I thought I'd we'd be talking about. But.
And it's about to get weirder. So you brought up that she's been hopping between all these apocalypses and whatnot, right? And we saw in the second episode the theory that because she's living very close to these apocalypses, the things that she's doing can't possibly create a branch because the world's going to end anyway. But in order to do that, our Loki showed up like 15 minutes before an apocalypse happened. Ostensibly, she couldn't be showing up like 2 years before an apocalypse because it would be creating a lot of branches. So my question about Sylvie is now, has she been living in like 15 minute segments, just topping 15 minutes at a time and dying worlds?
I would say theoretically, yeah, that's what I mean. Maybe not in that tight of a margin, but certainly close enough where it's like the inevitable end is close enough to happening where anything that she does won't affect the outcome. So it wouldn't be noticed by the TVA, which I saw really like, obviously, I don't know if you guys on your Instagram, like discovery feeds, like I get very random shit all over my Instagram discovery feed. And one of those things is like Marvel nerd pages where people just like post like super pixelated, shitty, like copied images of screenshots and then like their favorite quotes of bullshit and then all their theories. And then I read the comments because then I always like to see what the most liked comment is that has to do with like some crazy theory about the shows, which is where I was like, when WandaVision was airing, everyone was like, it's Mephisto. And like, that's where it all started. Like people in the comments section just saying that Mephisto was going to show up, but he never did and the person who created WandaVision, like, who the fuck is Mephisto? I don't even know what you're talking about. But I saw some crazy comment where it was like the theory that the TVA actually exists in the quantum realm. And yeah, that Quantum Mania is going to explore that. Supposedly.
Well, Kang has already been confirmed as the villain in Quantumania.
So, and Jonathan Majors has supposedly been cast as Kang, even though he's not directly referred to in the show as Kang. It's just supposed to be a like the nicest variant of Kang over the course of time.
I want to talk about Kang and how good this, I think this actor's great. I think Kang is the best part of the show. He might be the best part of the series. It's very cool that he's here. I'm not positive that I'm going to be excited to see Kang again. And I think it's this like internalized discrimination against television versus movies. Something about these characters showing up on a Disney TV show makes me feel like they aren't movie quality characters on some level. And I keep trying to convince myself that this isn't true. It's like, Tim, this is bullshit. You know better, Tim. You know better than this. But like, I don't know. Am I going to be excited to see Anthony Mackie in a movie again? Or am I going to be like, oh, this is like the TV show guy? Am I going to be excited to see Loki? Am I going to be excited to see Sylvie? Am I going to give a crap that Kang is here? Like thinking about, like in my mind, this Kang could potentially be the next big bad. They're doing all this multiverse stuff. They're doing all these timelines. If this is like Thanos, right? Thanos was being introduced to us on like end credits to like gigantic movies that everybody was seeing. The snap, which has had a reverberating effect on the entire like ecosystem of Marvel, happened in like at that point, like the biggest movie of all time. These were monumental events, and something about this whole multiverse being created on a TV show just makes it all seem a little lamer to me. And I would love for you guys to convince me that that's not true, but it's just rubbing me the wrong way.
Okay. Let me hit you with this. Let's take it back to Captain America, the Winter Soldier. If you think about,
we're probably going to talk a lot about Winter Soldier today.
I called it. I've seen the future. Think about the Falcon in that movie. Think about how dope he was. These movies have such higher production values than the TV shows. Mm. These are probably the highest quality superhero TV shows that have ever been made. Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah. if we're talking sheer budget, the teams that are involved, I mean, the movies are just, they're just these fucking engines. I know that we said we weren't going to talk about Black Widow at all. I won't spoil anything, but I will say this. It's a spectacle. Like,
yeah,
the movies are just on a completely different level. So it's going to be the same characters, but they're going to be framed completely differently. And I think that's really where we're going to feel the added value of the movies again, that up production value is going to make it so that when we do see another variant of Kang, Jonathan Majors is just going to look like a massive badass.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Side note, can I mention something about Black Widow that is not a spoiler, but I heard from insiders that are aware of, like, that worked on the crew and all that stuff, is that they shot the movie, you know, like, obviously I want to say like a year before the pandemic, and then it got delayed because of that. But the word was that they shot the movie and it was so not what they wanted that they, when they did reshoots, it took them almost 3 months to do the reshoots. They almost reshot the entire film.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's two solid versions of Black Widow out there. The one that they reshot was the one that we received theatrically, but there is some other version out there that is, you know, like the Batman, like the Justice League Snyder cut, like could be another 3 hours long or some shit.
Like a worse Black Widow movie is out there.
Yeah, like a worse Black Widow. Yeah, exactly.
It's aspect ratio.
Yeah, oh God, that was the fucking worst. Ugh.
Let's talk Kang.
Okay, the beauty of Kang is that no matter what you thought about this version of Kang that we saw in the finale, every single time Kang shows up, if Kang is a different timeline variant of himself every time we see him, Jonathan Majors has another crack at playing that character in a different way. If it turns out that, like, Jonathan Majors isn't that popular and they want to recast him, that's still completely covered by him having variants. Kang, he could look like anybody. They could just toss in a different variation on him just for the hell of it, for the sake of a story. That's what really excites me about this guy, is that, like, there's a million different versions of him out there and they have to fight all of them.
And we have to see all of them.
Do you think that's what's going to happen, though? That, well, what does all of them mean? Like, that's isn't that infinite to a degree?
That's what he was arguing in the finale.
They've planted a seed of infinite Kangs fighting infinite Kangs to figure out who is the one ruling Kang above them all, and that he's also going to be the villain in Ant-Man. So, like, and Kang is kind of a crazy character, right? Like, historically in the comic books, he's like Nathaniel Richards, so he's like related to the Fantastic Four. He's like comes back as like Iron Lad. They do like all this weird shit in the comics where, like, you know, he shows up as like Immortus, or he's like a pharaoh in one version, and then some of them are linked and not, and it just, like, there's a council of Kangs, like something out of Rick and Morty, where they all just like hang out and like talk to each other. It's like, Kang is a fascinating character, and seeing more of Kang,
the Citadel of Kangs,
will be awesome. I thought he crushed the show. What do you guys think?
Absolutely.
What do you guys think about Loki in this show, or the Lokis?
I thought he did a really great job. I mean, his back and forth with Owen Wilson was fantastic in the show. I really enjoyed that. And then all the variants they had, especially, I mean, what the fuck was his name? Oh God.
What, Richard Grant?
Richard Grant. Oh, one of the most underutilized actors out there. Who I first became aware of when I watched Spice World when I was a child. He is the tour manager in Spice World.
Holy shit.
A movie that you cannot find anywhere. I dare you to find a copy of it digitally. It doesn't exist. And it's a fantastic movie that I watched in my childhood a lot because my sisters were big fans of it. But
based on the time period that movie came out, I would believe that it is only available on Hit Clips.
Yeah, but he was fantastic as original Loki. I enjoyed that. The crocodile made me chuckle, I'm not going to lie. I thought it was stupid enough to make me laugh. And like all the other like variants of Loki that were stuck in the Elias dimension or whatever the fuck that thing was called. I did enjoy that. But I just want to come out this and say my sleeper favorite for the show was Miss Minutes, the clock with all the information.
Miss Minutes slaps.
I think Miss Minutes has more, there's more to Miss Minutes than we think. Cause she was oddly like aware, like she was hiding information from from what's her name, the character, the Judge Renslayer, and trying to offer, like, Miss Minutes was being manipulative, but Miss Minutes was presented to us as like a character that represents the TVA and its and the people and the person that created her. But Miss Minutes seemed to like kind of have her own agenda in a certain way that we're, like, we're not aware of. And she is like, you know, delightful and innocent because of the way that she's presented to us. But I don't know if we've seen the last of Miss Minutes, which, you know, I'm excited about.
Miss Minutes is Kang confirmed. At the end of the last episode, my reckless speculation for the end of the series was that the timekeeper was Miss Minutes. And when they came into the palace and Miss Minutes showed up, for a split second, I was like, holy fuck, I got it right.
She did offer Loki the Infinity Gauntlet.
Okay, that is leads right into my when did you know that Loki, that the Lokis were not going to accept Miss Minutes' offer?
Oh,
I mean, unfortunately, immediately. They went out of their way. They went out of their way in this one to not just like use the back half Joseph Campbell steps, but to actually explicitly label them by the end of it. So this was just like, I mean, it was like, okay, well, great. Here's the temptation. Not going to do this.
That is true. The temptation did fall pretty flat.
I don't think they were tempted for a second. Like, not a single part of me thought that they were even remotely considering taking her offer.
Well, but I think that was like a directorial mistake in a way, because I remember the camera being focused, being on Miss Minutes in that scene when she is delivering that, and sort of seeing Loki's reaction from behind. Like, if they had cut to Loki's reaction in the close up and him like just making a facial movement, like an eye movement, like thinking about that for real, that would have been more convincing for the viewer to be like, oh wait, maybe he's like still going for this whole like rule the universe thing. Because he, at the beginning when he figured out the TVA, he's like, is this the greatest power in the universe? Like, he still wanted to go for it. Like, whatever it was, you know, he was looking for in 2012 originally. So I think it was a directorial mistake, in my opinion.
On the rewatch, it doesn't even seem to faze him, like beating Thanos, all that stuff. The only thing that fazes him is like, you guys can both be together on the timeline. And he like looks at her and he's like, us together. And I'm just like, yeah, of course, this isn't.
Yeah, he's like, oh, my dick gets to get wet.
He doesn't. Yeah, he's just trying to get it in now. He's not even thinking about the Infinity Gauntlet.
Mine actually is, when did you know it was Kang? Because I was convinced that this was Mephisto all over again. I was convinced everybody online was working themselves into a ladder.
Damn.
Yeah, because it makes no, not knowing that there was going to be season two, this makes no narrative sense. It's a Hail Mary move to have it be anybody other than a character we've seen before. I spent the entire show going, who is it going to be? I was even open to, they mentioned the Hulk a lot. I was like, is this going to be the Maestro? Like a variant version of Hulk or something like that? Is it going to be fucking Thor? Like, is it going to be Odin? It's got to be someone we've heard about in some capacity. And then it's a fucking brand new character to the audience. I'm just thinking, like, my mom and dad are watching this. They got to be so disappointed.
Yeah. I agree. We brought up Kang multiple times on the podcast during Reckless Speculation, and I'm pretty sure we both said versions of this to each other. Like, there's no way it's Kang. How crazy would it be if at the end of the show, it's just some random character we've never seen before? The ending of this show, can I get into my beef as well? Is just the ending of this show is this weird fight between Loki, where he's bested by a character we were introduced to in this show, who it turns out is like really the star of the show. It seems like she's really the protagonist. And then she kills another character that we've also just met. So the finale of this show is decided by two characters where we've met for the very first time in this show. It's weird. It's weird. I don't know if it's like bad, but it is like jarring to think like Loki looks like a fool in this episode. He looks like okay, the part where I said this sucks is the fight when they're like sword fighting and he's talking to her. And I'm just like, Loki has had the worst character arc in this show of all time. He went from like a badass to like a dude in like a suit and suspenders looking shit, looking like Percy Jackson walking around with a sword on his back.
He manifested those suspenders just so he could have a sheath for his sword. I remember that.
Dude used to wear robes and crowns and shit and throw daggers, and now he has a sword a kid gave him and slacks, and he's having the most awkward. I was like, this is the most awkward sword fight I've ever seen in my life. I don't look at Tom Hiddleston as like a physical dude. I was like, this lanky motherfucker is swinging this sword like a pool noodle, like trying to take out Sylvie. I'm like, this is the lamest shit. How far our boy has fallen from like a badass conquering planets to just some like soft simp who's getting his butt kicked all the time and ends up being non-consequential for the whole thing. It's just pathetic. He's pathetic. He's a pathetic character now. Who cares? I'm just like out with Loki.
Hey man, some people just don't have a fight scene in them.
It's not just him being like whatever, like an inadequate fighter. It's just the combination of it. The show is ending with Loki in a pair of slacks, like holding a sword and like begging a girl to take him back. It's like, what is this? This is just, it's just wimpy. He's just a wimp. He's a wuss. Like, how am we supposed to get excited about this guy going forward? Like, what am I excited to see Loki do again? Like, lose another fight, get rejected by another person? What do we have to look forward to in Loki's character? Like, maybe he grows, he fucking sacks up in the next season.
What would you have preferred the Loki to, what would have been your preferential ending for that season? I guess
I would have preferred Loki to be more of a like Stone Cold Steve Austin character.
More of just a man.
He just needs to be an anti-hero. I want him to be an anti-hero the whole time. I want to keep that deceptive like thing for him. I want, when Miss Minutes offers him Thanos' gauntlet, I want to think for a second he'll take it. But
I think that's fair.
You're right.
We've already seen two episodes in a row where it's just him and this girl like falling in love and having each other's back and being like buddy buddy and best friends. And then all of a sudden in this episode, they're like, what's wrong with you? I never could trust you. I've never trusted you except for the like past three episodes. You know, like I feel like it's a fall from grace for Loki in my mind. And I'm where Sylvie is just like rising stock. Sylvie's a badass. She just like kills a dude. She doesn't even care about it. She doesn't need a man. She like kisses him to manipulate him and kick him out of here. It's like, this is a Sylvie show. This is a Lady Loki vehicle. And it's to introduce Kang, who's a badass.
Let's not forget the opening bumper. Like when Loki, the show comes up, it's Loki, but it keeps switching the font of the name. So the show isn't just about one Loki. The show is about Lokis. So in that sense, they are co-leads of the show. Loki, the variant across time, is the lead of the show.
So Sylvie, this is a Sylvie show. I guess that's my beef is just Loki's arc is a bummer to me. I feel like I'm less excited about Loki at Tom Hiddleston's Loki than I was going into this. I'm obviously more invested in Sylvie, and I'm invested in Kang as characters. So that's cool.
But they kind of left it as at a place where like the only place Loki can go now, he has to go up from here. Like, he's rock bottom. He just got like totally manipulated by Sylvie, like completely manipulated, pushed back in the TVA without a temp pad, and no one knows who he is.
I feel like we are at the midpoint of the story. I feel like this is going to be a 2-season show.
Oh, and maybe more.
We're just halfway through. It's the only way that Kang makes narrative sense.
Yeah. But okay. So we keep calling him Kang because he's Jonathan Majors and he's cast and he's supposed to play in Quantumania.
He's definitely Kang.
Okay. That was my question, because in the credits of the show, it's He Who Remains. They don't specifically say Kang in the show. They don't credit him even on IMDb. It's not Kang. He alludes to the fact that he was like a scientist in the 31st century, which is where Kang, the human that is Kang, originates from.
He's describing the story of Kang in the comics. You know, he throws a lot of extra oomph behind saying Conqueror, which is like Kang's moniker, like Kang the Conqueror. I like that it's Kang. I think the idea of it being an abstract He Who Remains is pretty lame. I'm glad that it's at least a character that we're going to be seeing again and like having a continued relationship with.
I feel like we should cover a little bit of the dynamic between Ravonna, Renslayer, and Mobius, because it's like, where is Judge Renslayer going? Whose side is she really on? Because it's kind of vague. Like, she's sort of like making her own path, and like, we don't know where she like went through a fucking time door and was like, later, Mobius, like, peace out. I'm going to go figure this out. But like, what is she like? And they were like, oh, look, she's a teacher in 2018, but she's also clearly been part of the TVA for a long ass time.
I think the teacher thing was just to prove that she's a variant.
Yeah.
And I liked that scene a lot. Actually, I thought it was a cool way to trick the TVA into exposing the truth about this. You know
what I think would be really fun? You know, we had those two TVA agents that were there, and the like human version of Judge Renslayer was there. And then ostensibly the TVA agents disappear, and maybe that Judge Renslayer variant was like, wait a minute, what the hell? And then seconds later, other people from the TVA show up, and it's like, we got a variant. They prune the world. If the TVA caused that TVA variation, I would love that. It really was the right Judge Renslayer.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. Wait, but see, I got the sense that she kind of knew that she was the variant the entire time.
She knew she was a variant. She definitely knew she was a variant, and she definitely, she's definitely withholding something, but I don't think she knows everything. She's definitely in the dark because she was caught off guard with that Miss Minutes stuff. Miss Minutes is getting her the wrong info, and she's like, this is what he thinks. And she was like, he who? And then Miss Minutes bounces. Like, she is definitely in the dark on stuff.
But she definitely knows something and has something that is going to matter in the next season or whenever she shows up, because they don't just give her an easy out. Like, she literally walks through an open door with unanswered questions from like Mobius, who's essentially us in that scene, being like, where are you going? Like, what are you doing? Why aren't you killing me? That kind of thing.
And I forget what her line is, but it's basically to like find the person responsible, right? Like, she explains, like, she gives like her character thesis so well in that scene, which is like, this has to have been for something. There's no way that I've dedicated my life to something that has no meaning. I'm out to go find that meaning. And I find that like a very compelling character, especially for a side character in this story. Like, for them to just be on a quest for truth, but not necessarily the truth, but like a truth that they can use to justify their own behavior, right? Like, she is a Christian looking for confirmation of Christianity. You know, she isn't looking for real answers. She's looking for confirmation. And that's like a super compelling story that I think is awesome. Owen Wilson got punked in that scene, though.
He gets punked because they reset his memory and all that shit. But I guess the setup is that maybe Judge Renslayer and Loki have to team up because they're the only two that are aware, other than Sylvie, like who he who remains is, because it appears that the TVA has been completely reset.
Well, okay. I don't think they were reset. I think he went back to an alternate timeline.
But if the TVA is outside of time,
this is only one. The TVA is only in of itself. You think,
You think that, so the TVA exists outside of time is what you guys are saying. So there's no way.
There's no stacked TVA. The TVA is a single entity that exists outside of all the multidimensional layers of time.
But that also can't be true because he returned to the TVA after time had passed because Kang had already like conquered that TVA. Is that the same TVA or is that an alternate reality TVA?
Well, I think the theory that they're putting to us, which is said by Kang being like, see you soon, is like, oh, the effect of killing Kang creates all of these branch realities that they can't now clip. But the result is that these other variants come around. And like, remember before the good Kang says, this is as peaceful as it gets. And like, if I'm gone, like the bad ones are going to come out. So the idea now is that one of the not so good Kangs now has control of the TVA in this loop of time that has created. And whoever whichever one came out on top from all these branch realities, like, took over the TVA. I suppose, theoretically, I don't know.
So you don't think there's multiple TV? You don't think this branch reality thing created multiple TVAs?
No, I don't think, I don't know. I don't think it created multiple TVAs because it's branching, but it's not like fractured. It's not like there's, it didn't represent like separate timelines stacked on top of each other. It just represent divergent timelines. Right. Cause the concept is that he like molded all the realities into one, the sacred timeline. Right.
Right.
So there's no timeline wars. So theoretically there's all the other timelines. Maybe each timeline, maybe each multiverse has its own TVA. Cause well now I'm confusing myself now. I don't even know. Someone stop me if I'm getting,
I think it's like one long string, right? Like it's one long string, but they travel through time, cutting off branch realities. So there could be a branch reality that happened in like 4,000 BC. That's like branched and then grown alongside our timeline. We just created a completely alternate timeline where all of us exist and we all wear tacos as hats because that was the most feasible thing to do in that reality, branching off from 400 BC. There's also like branch realities that started now that are like the same as ours, except for this one day that like did that thing. So then I guess my question is like how they did something. They killed Kang, which basically allowed all these branch realities to take place. And somehow because of that, it either creates an alternate, either Loki is in an alternate like timeline TVA or resetting the timeline created a Kang who was able to go back in time at the TVA and take it over and build statues of himself.
Like the obvious dictator.
Cause they're doing the bit, they're doing like the Planet of the Apes shit, right? Where he like goes to another timeline and then like the Statue of Liberty looks like a monkey. It's like they get back, he goes back to the TVA and it's Kang, a statue of Kang's there, which means that he's still in like, in my mind, I was like, oh, he's in a different reality, but the TVA is also like in time. So like, right. Like days pass in the TVA, like time's different there, but they're not standing in place. They're still like, doing shit. They're feasibly aging. They're learning things. Like, I don't know how you could read a book and exist outside of time. You know, like it's all, it's weird. I don't know. I guess I'm torn. I didn't even think about the idea that it was the same reality. I thought for sure he's in a variant. He got sent back to the wrong place.
Interesting. I totally thought it was the same place that was changed by the result.
Your idea might be right.
You think we get enough expositional dialogue? I don't know what the fuck is going on. Okay. We're still here arguing about what the fuck a TVA is. Like, I'm trying to go off the rules of time travel based off of how the quantum realm worked from Endgame. But even that's like, doesn't really
even that, like the like the Wasp, Janet Van Dyne goes into the quantum realm and she ages in the quantum realm. So she's experiencing time. And so he's like, for me, it was 5 hours or whatever. So she ages, but she felt like she wasn't there that long. Basically,
that's a very good point but maybe she was. I don't know what to say about
that. She felt like she was there that long, right?
Paul Rudd said he fell into the quantum realm. He was there for 5 hours. And then he came out and it had been 5 years or something like that. He was there for hours and years had passed.
30 hours for Janet Van Dyne.
So maybe it only, but she was also older, but she comes out the same age as her husband, feasibly. I mean, she's aged. Yeah. She's like an older woman. So like enough time has somehow passed, but it also functions differently in different parts of the quantum realm too. So it's like, this is like the whole crazy thing with time and stuff. It really doesn't make any sense. Okay. We've kind of gotten into beefs. Does anybody else have beefs that they want to get into, or have we kind of covered it?
My beef would be when most specifically, I guess, I'm sorry to do this. The second episode in particular, where they're just like running around and we're just following them. I can't stand when we're in like action sequences and I just feel like I'm following an RPG in a video game or like that kind of thing. Like I don't need that kind of shit in television. I honestly prefer the scene with Kang where he's like, I'm telling you what it's all about, over like running around. And like the Eliath character, I could not have given a shit about Eliath. That was the least intimidating like big bad, and that like, you know, they tried to do that whole Guardians of the Galaxy moment where they touch hands and somehow their powers are going to work on some like matter eating coyote pretty much. And lost cloud coyote. And suddenly like they enchant it and like, oh, look, the door is open. I couldn't, that I didn't care for that. I was like, oh, they gave us more info on Eliath when Kang was explaining him to us. But even then I was like, it still didn't justify, like, I don't know. And her whole bit was, I'm just going to run at him and enchant him. Like, okay, is there a better way for our Loki to like discover his abilities, or like where he can take his abilities? I found that frustrating, but whatever. You can't be perfect.
Dude, it's funny that you bring up the Kang discussion, giving more information on Eliath, because when Kang says like, in the middle of the multiverse war, I discovered a being that feeds off mass and energy. I was like, whoa, yeah, that sounds awesome. And then he's like, it was called Eliath. And it's like, oh, yeah, man.
No, he's like, you guys know who it is. And they're both like, Eliath.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
So
like,
bummed.
Oh, cool. You were just like waltzing around the multiversal wars. And you were like, what's that? And they're like, managed to harness. It's being like, whatever. I mean, that more of, honestly, like, that's the story I want to see, like how Kang captured Eliath, not how stupidly easy it was to beat Eliath for the Loki and Sylvie.
Yeah, I want to see the fucking war.
I think you made a good point, Spencer, which is like the advantage of TV over film, which is television. It's because you get to spend more time with these characters, right? Like, movies are cool. You go there, it's a tight script, big budget, awesome action sequences. The advantage of TV is that we get to see Loki like every single week, right? Like, we get to spend more time with him. So like the things that the TV show should be crushing and like knocking out of the park, which like we've argued on the podcast, maybe they haven't really figured out yet, are the scenes with like Loki and Sylvie hanging out on a planet together. That's like what a good TV show would be capitalizing on. They'd be capitalizing on the relationship between Owen Wilson and Loki at the expense of big action scene, big fight. Like, and I don't think that's something Marvel movies have really done at all. It's taken them multiple movies to like figure out what characters are and things like that. So I think this is like a rough transition, but I think like once they get into that, I think that's like a really good, that's the way to do it.
I think you just said something interesting, which made me think about like, if this series, if this, these six episodes were compressed into a movie, you would be furious with this movie. You would be like, this movie fucking sucks. It has no like satisfying arc. Well, I mean, not arc necessarily, but no satisfying conclusion. And it was underwhelming, like in terms of the scale of the action. Like, there's definitely like the stunt sequences are like definitely not as complex as Winter Soldier were. Like, Winter Soldier.
Thank you.
And Falcon and Winter
Take
Soldier.
A drink if you're so playing like, the Nerdy Falcon for 30 and the drinking Winter Soldier. Game.
but the series though, like they had some legit like great fight sequences in that show that like were just kind of lacking in Loki in total. Like, there's only so much swordplay and like green magic you can throw around the screen before it's like, let's see some real superhero shit happen.
I think Falcon and the Winter Soldier was the most like TV show of all of them. I thought it was like the most well set up to be a, yes, like an ongoing TV show. And WandaVision like experimented with the format of TV, which is like its own nod. And Loki just like at times felt kind of out of its depth for me and like straddling the line between TV and movie or whatever. But okay. What about, let's move on to thieves. Who or what stole the show for you this episode? I mean, we've already touched on it. I think this Kang actor is awesome. I think he's great. I mean, yeah. I loved it. I like the idea that he's kind of crazy now. I feel like I've heard other people being like kind of critical of like him being so loopy or whatever, but like, I mean, this is a guy who has seen all of time. You know, he's not even like the most badass Kang. He is the most badass Kang, right? Because he was able to defeat all these other Kangs. And then he's also knows everything that's going to happen, but he's a human guy. So like, I don't even understand how it's possible for a human being to know everything that's going to happen in the time stream and be able to do all this stuff, to have been doing it for as long as he's been doing it. This guy's crazy. He's going to be eccentric. He's going to be weird. It was super fun. The moment when the crossing, the threshold. Yeah. He says, "We've crossed the threshold," and the camera like really zooms in on him as he's like picking something up and dropping
it.
He's like,
close up again of him.
Oh, I thought that was so cool. I was like leaning. I didn't realize until they started panning out again that I would be like leaning in. I was like, this is amazing. He's like, doesn't know what's going to happen next. I'm like, this guy's crushing it. Like, this is the kind of shit we should be seeing. I mean, that guy, that's a movie quality character right there.
No, you're right. I would say Jonathan Majors is the actor, and I hadn't honestly seen him in anything else, but I know he's in that show Lovecraft County, which like very famously just didn't get its second season, but his performance makes me want to see what he's up to in Lovecraft County, because I haven't seen it yet.
But he's real good.
I thought it was a great, because it's so, I mean, like, film history is just loaded with villain after villain. Like, it's so hard to be a memorable villain. And I think that was a great intro for his character. And like, Tim, I think you maybe said it earlier that that's like just a, or maybe one of you said earlier, excuse me, that it's just a version of him. He's going to be, have the opportunity to play or show us other versions of Kang and give us different performances for those, for how the actor Jonathan Majors perceives those people, those Kangs to be. And I think that's very exciting thing about, because I would say he killed it, like really killed it.
Any other thieves? Kevin, you got any thieves?
I think for me, I mean, I loved Kang, but I got to say Judge Renslayer, just really compelling. She was so good the entire show.
Yeah, and, she was very good.
Yeah, this kind of unmoored position that she's in now, where she's trying to find any kind of proof, she's kind of crusading. I think that's really exciting going into the next season.
I want to give a special shout out though to Owen Wilson, who, you know, has been kind of hiding in the shadows for the better part of the last decade, I would say, film wise, and just like popped out and did a great job as Mobius in this show. Like, I really didn't, like, I didn't feel that I was watching like goofy Owen Wilson. Like, I wasn't distracted by him and all of his other crazy characters he's played over the years. I was like, that's Mobius. And this is like a great actor for this role to deal with this character, Loki. And I think that he earned his Marvel stripes pretty well on that front.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I rewatched Starsky and Hutch the other day, and it holds up fantastically.
The scene really? Where they missed the boat is maybe the hardest I've ever laughed at a movie, I'll be honest. Okay, let's wrap it up. We've gone a little long. Guys, let's wrap it up with Reckless Speculation. We saw in the closing credits scene that we are going to get Loki 2. I was personally surprised to see Loki returning in Loki 2. I thought for sure he'd be in something else before we get a Loki 2. I have no idea when we're getting a Loki 2.
I got a piece of speculation. I think the first episode of Loki 2, they're just going to take, you know, 15 minutes and walk through all of the time travel rules in a way that all of us will understand and appreciate.
That's great. That's a great piece of speculation here.
It's reckless.
I think I liked Kevin's point the most, that this finale seems like a midpoint. That comment, honestly, maybe got me more excited about Loki 2, which I didn't even think of. I was not watching the show wanting or expecting a Loki 2, but the idea that we're going to get one and maybe some explanation for this. I'm curious to see how much Kang plays a role in Loki season 2, or if that is somehow, if we're able to get a satisfying Kang conclusion in Ant-Man. And then also in Loki 2, it seems I don't know how they're going to do both of those things.
I would imagine Loki 2 is going to be coming out before Ant-Man Quantumania, because that's 2023, right?
Hopefully.
I don't know. Yeah. Are we going to get a Loki before then? Are they working on it? I'm not sure.
I'm sure they're already in the midst of shooting the next season, which will probably air next summer, I would bet.
The director's not coming back. I saw that Kate Herron is not returning for season 2.
Interesting. Oh. I thought she.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
with the exception of the fight scene.
Ron Howard is stepping in, actually. Ron Howard is stepping in.
They probably heard all of Spencer's criticism of the direction on this podcast, and we're like, okay, we got to get out of here.
They can hire me. I'd happily shoot Loki season two with zero experience whatsoever.
I love that Spencer's direction note was literally about the direction the camera is pointing. It's the most basic. You have a point.
It is a director's choice. Also, like, if Loki had reacted in any way, like he didn't when she offered he didn't flinch when she offers him the gauntlet.
Hey, I love it. Listen. I've just never thought about the term director in such a literal sense before, and it's really funny to think about it. As most basic is just, yeah, you're gonna want to point that over there.
I mean, it's part of the job. What are you going to say?
I didn't like the way it was pointing. Okay, so that's our Loki episode 6 pod. Spencer, thank you so much for joining us. Anything you want to plug? Anything we should check you out on?
I would just like to plug my Instagram feed, I guess, because, you know, I post photos on there. At Spencer Pazer. It's great. You know, I'll soon be having a nature Instagram feed featuring nature episodes and photographs of mostly birds. So you can check that out at What's That Over There on Instagram.
I love that.
Great name.
That'll be soon. And that's pretty much it. I just want to say thank you for bringing me on to the show. Sorry for going, twice beyond the usual limit, but I enjoyed this very much and would like to do it again and may just have to do my own if you're not going to invite me anymore.
No, hey, we'll definitely have you back.
You made the extra time worth it. Thank you for doing it, man.
All right.
Oh, fantastic.
Thank you. Kevin, final thoughts?
You know, might not have been perfect, but I'm going to tune in for for season two, and I'm going to be excited to do so.
Nice. Same. Guys, thank you so much for listening to Nerdy for 30. We'll be back at our regular time on Monday with a new movie show, so be on the lookout for that. And that's it. Talk to you guys later. Listen, speak in front of you guys later. Interact with you guys later. I don't know. New pod. Bye. We're all waving on the Zoom. Bye.